Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
And now, coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's the one, the only, Puckle Podcast.
It's Puckle!
Puckle!
It's Puckle!
Puckle!
Pokemon Underground Champions League, oh yeah!
Puckle!
Puckle. Welcome to another episode of the Puckle Podcast. I'm your host, Trainer Thatch. Here today with my spectacular co-host, we've got R Sigma.
Hello.
And we've got Claude9.
Hello, everyone.
And boy, oh boy, do we have a show for you today. Welcome to the Puckle Podcast. Puckle, of course, standing for the Pokemon Underground Champions League, a nonsensical name we came up with in 2007, where we talk everything from the trading card game to the video game to everything in between. Though I guess today, well, no, we're going to talk about both ends of the spectrum, but probably nothing in between. So,
or are we?
That's a great question. I don't know. It's like my life this week in terms of Pokemon has been rotation.
That is a fun time, though. I like rotation.
I love TCG rotation days because they're the biggest meta shifts I think you ever see. Just because you typically lose like a bunch of pieces. I also think the game. The game designers also use it as a chance to, like, balance.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And it does, I will say, it feels a lot better right now.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
At first glance.
I think one of the most toxic cards that the game's ever created, Battle VIP Pass.
It was pretty bad.
Is no longer in rotation, and it feels good. And they came out with the balanced version of that card, which is the Buddy Buddy Poffin.
Mm-hmm. Buddy Buddy Poffin is very good. I like the design for Buddy Buddy Poffin.
It's designed incredibly well.
I wish it was 60 HP instead of 70, but you know.
I'll take 70. I think 70 is fine because there's a lot. I think 70 is the threshold.
I want 60 so it couldn't find Kumpei, if I'm going to be completely honest.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
That's why. It's like, then it's actually just for evolution decks.
Yeah, but a lot of evolution decks, like, I would agree with you, like, 5 years ago. You know what I mean? Because there has been, like, some power creep where Pokemon having, you don't play a Pokemon anymore with 40 base HP, right? Like, that just doesn't happen in a TCG.
There's a couple few.
If you're playing Gimmagool, you have to,
yes,
but, you know.
Yes, but that's it.
And most Pokemon with, like, three stages will have, like, a 60 HP variant.
It's like, more yes, you have exactly. to more rather than you want to.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, things go up to 70 now, and honestly, I think he wants 70 because of Comfey, even though, with Sableye running around.
If there were one set you could get rid of from the format, it would be Lost Origins. Like,
well,
I don't know.
You'll get your wish this time next year.
Exactly.
You know?
I don't like Lost Origins.
I am looking forward to Lost Origins rotating. I am looking forward to that.
Like, I think most of the sets in rotation are very well done. And well-designed.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Lost Origins isn't, and I think that Forest Seal Stone shouldn't have been printed, but that's beside the point.
I do love that, what's it called? I do love that Gardevoir has kind of fallen from grace. I don't know if you guys have noticed that.
Oh, yeah. I knew it was coming.
Yeah, post-rotation.
Without its big attacker, it's...
It lost its main attacker, yeah. It was obviously going to go down.
I'm very happy about that. It's so...
Yeah, one of the decks that takes a 20-minute turn is gone. It's nice.
Yeah, one of the to be fair, I haven't seen like a... just online, I haven't seen a ton of Lost Box, but I think that's because everybody's playing with new toys.
I've seen a bunch of Giratina.
I still see them. Sometimes with Giratina, sometimes not.
Yeah, I haven't seen them. Maybe I'm not good. Maybe it's because I'm not good. I don't know.
I prefer seeing the Giratina.
Oh, speaking of this, last TCG thing, and we could talk about something else maybe. But TCG Live updated, right? with Temporal yeah. Forces. I enjoy the ladder so much more because they redesigned the whole ladder.
Yes.
Things are attainable now. It's great.
Yeah.
You don't have to go on like massive win streaks to win.
Everyone stopped at 600 points before. Who would have guessed?
Yeah. Yeah, right? And now it's like 520. So 600 would get you to the Great Ball tier. Now 520 gets you to the Ultra Ball tier.
Yeah, I will actually grind the ladder now. I'm kind of happy.
And as long as you're doing 50% win rate, like you can still make it.
Yeah, you guaranteed make it at that point.
Yeah, as long as you have a 50% win rate.
It's great.
Which I think is necessary on that kind of ladder. Like in a best of three scenario, I can see you going like, oh, hey, you don't need a, like you need a greater than 50% mm-hmm. win streak. But in a best of one, I think you need to be like, no. 50% is good enough. So I don't know who designed the original ladder. It was incredibly wrong.
It was just unattainable and never worth grinding.
Yeah, it was just not, it wasn't fun. This one feels better.
Like once you hit Great Ball, it just wasn't worth going further.
No.
No.
I think once I pushed it to like, I think I got up to like 1300 once. Mm-hmm. But that's still, I mean, that was still like ways away from Ultra Ball at that point still. I remember doing it.
Like it was really bad.
It was like 1600 or something to get to Ultra Ball. Like it was bad. Because I was like, oh, I'm going to try to make the play for it. And like, I got up to like 1300. I'm like, wow, it's not that it was like hard per se. It was just that the amount of time required.
It's not worth the grind.
No, like, it's not.
And then what was worse is like, I grinded it more than twice 600, right? And then when the ladder reset, they're like, yeah, so you're Pokeball again. And I'm like, what? This is incredibly frustrating. Why did you drop me so far?
There were a lot of issues with the old system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A lot of issues.
It was very bad. I actually really enjoy that they fixed that. I don't know if they heard complaints.
I'm surprised it took them that long.
Yeah, I don't know if they heard complaints or something and they decided to change, but I welcome and appreciate it. But, okay, yeah. Have you guys been doing anything else other than Rotation 2, or have we all just been doing Rotation?
I guess I'm playing in Prepare for Trouble tournament. That's fun.
Dude, I missed out on that sign up and I feel bad about it because like, I'm usually pretty good about Puckle stuff.
Mm-hmm.
With that, and I just dropped the ball. I feel so bad about that.
Mm.
How many people signed up? We get a good number?
We got 16, I believe.
Actually pretty good. That's pretty good, actually. I will take
that. That's about where you want it. I was happy.
That's pretty good. I'll take that. Yeah, hopefully that goes well. I actually really like that format right now, in all honesty. Yeah. I really like VGC right now. VGC feels really good.
We got it for a month more.
Yeah. What do you think it's going to be in a month?
One restricted is my guess.
I hope not. I hope not. Restricted formats are the worst, though. Like,
one restricted has a lot of potential this time just because of the Paradox Pokemon.
But yeah, well, I think Maridon just wins and all the future Pokemon become big. Future Paradox become big.
It's Maridon versus Groudon, I think. But
yeah, I think that's what it comes down to.
You might see Kyogre.
Kyogre's Ray still? Is always-
I think there is an argument for Kyogre. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like there's going to be Weather Wars, I think.
I think it's just going to be like a rock, paper, scissors, like Groudon, Kyogre, and Maridon.
Mm. Though Terra makes that a little more interesting, so.
Yeah. That's kind of my prediction on how that's going to go.
Yeah.
Maybe Calyrex shows up too. Like, there's a chance.
That's fair.
I don't think Zacian shows up in like one ofs, but you know. Zacian could show up at two restricteds, but one restricted, I don't think Zacian's quite there anymore.
No. Yeah, definitely not.
I guess it outspeeds Maridon, but eh.
Yeah, but meh.
Yeah, it's like,
meh.
It got nerfed a bit.
Yeah.
Doesn't get to have, like, Clear Amulet to help it, so.
Yep.
We'll see.
I think you're correct. But yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I am excited for that. I love playing VGC right now. It's so much fun. It feels so good. I love laddering on cart.
Mm-hmm.
It feels great.
I haven't played VGC in so long.
Dude, it's so fun.
I've been good about just going back to Master Ball just to get the herbs, good old herbs.
What I really want to do is I want to set up like a Puckle tournament where we use the hour-long rules so we can play OU again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I want to do that because you can't do it
now. I have
to
grind it. I don't want to have to grind a team.
That's you can do it, but it's...
I can. I just don't want to do it. It costs so much money, like in-game money, that I don't have.
It's a lot of resources.
It is a lot of resources. I agree.
I go back to Sword and Shield when I can to upgrade Pokemon. I send them back to reset their stats. I send them back to train them with the Isle of Armor people because
Yeah.
Infinite money in Sword and Shield. Like, it's really easy to train Pokemon over there compared to
that's so true.
Scarlet and Violet.
That's so true.
Yes. That is
like
correct.
When I can, I do that.
That is so true. Man, I do miss doing that. I miss just playing OU on cart. I just like we're going to talk about it today because I guess we just get to reminisce. But man, do I just miss playing OU on cart. It's such a good time. Mm-hmm. It's such a good time. But yeah. Oh, yeah. Well,
so I've caught the Nuzlocke bug.
Oh, tell me about it.
A lot of fun Nuzlocking. I've been trying to go through Pokemon Run and Bun, which is a very difficult game, and I hate it, and I hate myself for trying to do it. But it is, you know, a thing, and you know, yeah. I'm having a blast because it's all the
okay. Wait, I have a question because I'm not sure. Like I'm really not big in the fan game sure. community, yeah. right? With Relic mm-hmm. Castle shutting down, does that affect your ability to find these games?
No.
Okay.
I assume you just Google it. No,
yeah, a lot yeah, of it's yeah. Google, and a lot of there's a whole like Poke forum. Or
I was gonna say, I imagine the safety of finding these games gets more difficult.
Correct,
right?
Yeah.
Granted, a lot of the big popular games have their own Discord.
Yeah.
And you can find everything there,
That's
which is what I've been doing for you know like safely getting things that I want.
Yeah, I think that whole Relic Castle situation is just weird and didn't need to happen, but that's fine.
It happened like right after the lawyers like, yeah, we don't like to send. Fan cease and desist, so we wait yeah. to see if their projects are funded before we do it.
Yeah, I found it really weird because they didn't fund any of those projects.
Right?
Or at least not any that I knew of.
They were just an aggregate, as far yeah. as I'm aware.
Yeah.
Very weird.
But as far as I know, I'm just having fun. I like yeah. a more difficult game where I can do all the calcs that I want to do with competitive without yeah. having to, you know...
Play competitive?
It turns the game from a normal Pokemon game into... A like puzzle game in my mind, where it's all right. These are your pieces. How do you get through this challenge? And I love that idea.
I think that's why Draft League is such an attractive idea to a lot of us, is because it is just like a puzzle, right?
Mm-hmm. See, I've gotten to the point now where, as much as I love Draft League, I've gotten like I'm so tired of it after doing it for so long. So I'm like, I don't want to have to actually worry about like timing battles and like worrying about yeah. wins and losses. I just want to be able to play me versus something else and like
I think the worst part of Draft League ever all the time is scheduling.
Oh yeah.
It is the worst part is scheduling. I'd much rather just play by myself.
I'm having a lot of fun going through it's at Run and Bun. That's very, very difficult.
Yeah.
It's scratching my itch without actually having to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
But I did decide that the next time I stream, I want to do the Infinite Fusion.
Oh, yeah.
Pokemon game for, you know, a Nuzlocke for next time I stream stuff, because that looks super dumb, and there are so many ways to go about it, and I'm like, great, every time you play, it'll be entirely different, because it's, you know, you fuse Pokemon together.
Mm-hmm.
And I found a fun way to Nuzlocke it, and I'm like, this is good stream content, in my mind.
Of course.
That's always half the battle.
Anything on your end, Sigma, that other than, I mean, I guess you said you've been doing rotation, yeah. and that's all we talk about nowadays.
Rotation and PFTT, that's it.
Boop. Yep.
I mean, shiny hunting is always a thing, but we...
Yeah. I mostly have just been like I said, I've mostly been focusing on the rotation because it's been a blast. I've been like going to card store. I hate to admit that I paid too much money probably for a prime catcher.
I suspect those go down. Like right now they're like 30-ish.
Yeah, they're still 30. The moment I was just like, oh, I'm sure going to buy one was I always wait to the Monday after I always wait for the Monday after a set comes out to buy my cards, because by then, you know, the market stabilizes, quote unquote, or you can at least watch trends.
Usually.
But all these ace specs are really weird. The ace specs were weird because like I noticed
go up.
Yeah. They've all gone up. Like, all the good ones have gone up, I should say.
Except maybe the Future Pod. Future Pod was really low, but...
Future Pod's gone down, Ancient Pod's gone down,
yeah.
the Neo Energy's gone down.
The energy is worthless, yeah.
Everything but the main four that are being used.
Yeah.
Prime Catcher, Master Ball,
Maximum Belt, and Hood. Yeah.
Belt and Hood, yeah.
It's Cape. Hero's Cape, not Hood.
Hero's Cape, yeah. That's it. Well, let's go ahead.
Yeah.
See, I got a box, and I got by far the worst box I have ever got. I had 11 hits.
Oh, man.
And nothing was, like, secret super rare.
Man.
And I pulled, like, the two worst ace specs. So I'm like, all right. But after that, I'm like, I got two full arts, and I'm like, this is it. I was so sad.
The ace specs look really good now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Like, we've seen the pictures, but in my head, I was thinking of the Ace decks from Black and White and how, like, those are just like, meh, those are normal cards. These look really good, actually. These pop.
They have, like, texturing, too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're very
the
nice.
The only thing that I got out of this was, I pulled the entire Ancient Box.
Yeah, I did that.
I believe that.
Like, all of the rares. I think I hit four Coridon, four of the mini Roaring Moon.
Yep.
And I'm like, all right. And I got all the supporters. And I'm like, and mm-hmm. I got four Fluttermane. I'm like, wow. I literally just hit this box and nothing else. I'm like, okay. Yeah. I guess this is fine, but it's not fine. What I want.
It's fine. Well, yeah. All right. I'm gonna kick us off here, and we're gonna go talk about some news. So let's go cue some epic music.
Coming to you live from the Lavender Town Radio Tower, this just in.
Welcome to the news. In the news, we've got honestly absolutely nothing. The next season of the anime in Japan has been previewed. It's called Terastal Debut, and is probably what you'd expect for the anime to have been about a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
With the cast enrolling in the academy and using characters from Scarlet and Violet. There's also a shiny Sideguard for reasons. I find it really funny because that's absolutely correct. I think they were putting it off because they didn't want to pick whether or not they were in the Scarlet or the Violet universe.
They wanted to wait to see if the characters resonated with people.
Yeah. Like, what a wild, like, concept they kind of, like, dug themselves into by making the school two different schools in the games.
Yep. That was a little messy.
Why? That's such what a weird thing to do.
The central concept of the game is different in... I don't know. It's a choice. It was a choice.
It's not different. It's weird. It's just weird.
It also looks like Charizard's taking a break, too.
Thank God.
Freed isn't in the promo material, and neither is Charizard.
The only thing that bothers me is Captain Pikachu's not then, you know, and...
I did like Captain Pikachu.
He was at least in the promo art for the season.
I think we talked about it last week, but I thought Captain Pikachu was done very tastefully.
Really liked what they've done. Granted, I'm only like 5 episodes into the Horizons, and you guys talked about this last week, and I did not listen to it. But I really like the story at the moment.
I didn't like it until it was over, until the 12 episodes was over, because it just feels like it goes nowhere, right? Like,
it's a cute little story. I like how it's different than the normal Pokemon thing, and everything actually flows together.
Oh, it's very different.
And it's not just, all right, here's this singular episode that means nothing. This singular episode means nothing. You can watch them entirely out of order.
It is serialized. You are correct.
And I do like that.
Serialization of TV shows, I think, is always better than, like, Monster of the Week type stuff.
Yes.
I do agree with that. Moving on. This is you, Claude.
Oh my gosh, it's me. EUIC is next week. There'll probably be promo codes for Iron Hands and...
Or this weekend, I guess.
Or, no, this weekend, yeah. There will probably be promo codes for Iron Hands and Raging Bolt as Twitch drops. Hopefully, World States will get announced for it.
They confirmed it.
Oh, did it confirm? It's going to be announced during the closing ceremonies of...
That's so dumb. Why don't they just announce world states before that?
Yeah, there's been a lot of issues with people being like, oh, it's coming up, and I still can't buy tickets because I don't know when it is.
Watch it be in, like, July this year for some reason.
That would be funny.
I'm expecting August. Isn't it normally in August?
It's normally in August.
It's usually in August. Usually mid-August.
This is why it's honestly the reason I don't expect any news about PLZA until August.
And even then, it's not a guarantee. But like, that's the earliest I expect to see something.
Well, they might announce a Pokemon, or they might like announce like a weird form or something. Like, here's Kaloshian, whatever, and they might just be like, this is a Pokemon.
The Baguette Dog. Let's go.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. A Baguette Dog. We kind of already. Here's the regional form.
No, that's a Kalosian form for it. It's fine.
Here's the regional form of Doxbun. Yeah.
Doxbun is Kalos. Yeah, Kalos Doxbun. It's got baguettes.
Kalosian Doxbun. You know what? That's a good idea. I'm into it. Bring it. Bring it, Game Freak. Long Dog.
It's Long Dog. It's fine.
Long Dog. Yeah. It's just so weird that they're taking so long to do it.
I'm okay with it.
It's wild. It's wild.
I mean, there's still a non-zero percent chance we get some other announcement this year.
There is a non-zero. If it happens, it'll be like in June.
Yeah, I can see it happening with Worlds when Worlds happens.
Or it's whenever the Direct is, because Nintendo's not doing anything this year either. But we'll see.
It could be. I could see something coming out around June timeframe. It would be very similar to like an Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon type announcement.
Ultra Sun and Moon, Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee were announced in like June. Just because, like, it's a non-zero chance, just because there do need to be games.
It'll be like it's a not hype game. You know what I mean? Like, they're going to be like, here's a not hype game for you.
Yeah. It's not a game we want to market.
I feel like putting like, if you put another Diamond and Pearl remake, like right there, they put it on Pokemon Day and it was disappointing to everybody. But if they would have announced it in like June, I feel like everybody was like, okay.
They were tied together forever. Like, you don't want that. So it's a non-zero chance, maybe.
Exactly. I would love them just to announce anything on Nintendo Switch Online. Yeah, like anything. Like mainline Pokemon, not Pokemon Stadium. You know, just give us something with connection to home. Like, that's it. That can't be that crazy of a concept.
I mean, they ran out of NSO titles that they've announced so far, too. They went through the last one.
I'm hoping NSO also transfers over to whatever the next console is.
And we don't have to wait for the drip feed? Yeah, yeah.
I really hate how every single time we get a new Nintendo console, they just make... They re-release everything again, and it's slow. But all right, last one, and this is you, Sigma.
Yeah, it's Go News. So starting April 4th through April 9th, there's a size event where you can catch small Pokemon and big Pokemon, like whales and Joltix. They introduced shiny Wimpod during the event. Yay.
That's actually a good shiny, though.
I like shiny Wimpod, and if I found one, I would not be upset, because those things are a pain in the butt to get.
That is a good shiny.
You get double experience when you hit the circle when you throw. I believe it said nice throws and better get 2x XP. There's a Baggin Community Day rerun on the 7th, which is during this event. And during that, you get 3x XP. So I think if you hit the circle, you should get 6. Last time it stacked when an event was happening during.
6x XP is a lot, actually.
Especially if you use like an egg.
Like a lucky egg? That's 12.
Like, in theory, that's how it should work. You can get a lot of XP from a Baggin.
I have to go play now.
You can level up during these Baggins, in theory.
12x is insane.
If these stack, like, that's incredibly good.
12x XP is a lot.
I just assume that's how it works, but yeah.
All right, in Puckle news, we've got TCG signups for our TCG tournament. Those are going to be up now. I have already signed up before anybody else because I signed up before I went live. Additionally, it's rigged. I'm gonna win it myself and win absolutely zero prizes.
That's what they get for not bringing the electric Pokemon. They deserve it.
Exactly. And of course, I will hopefully be back streaming this week and things won't be hectic. So, check me out on Wednesday over on Twitch. We're gonna be bringing back the egg lock and having a good time with it. Additionally, Puckle's Pokey Opinion. We've been talking about Mega Evolution on this show a lot lately because of Pokemon Legends Z to A, but on this day of all days, are you Team War Greymon or Team Metal Garurumon?
I'm gonna go Metal Garurumon.
I think that's I don't know. Like, okay, so like those are both very iconic.
I mean, I think I'm War Greymon. I like the humanoid fate. I like the humanoid form.
I don't know. I don't know, man. Like, this is a hard choice. War Greymon and Metal Garurumon are the best.
They are really good. They're really good design megas. Like,
yeah, Mega Digimon, as far as they go, these are the best ones.
So it's basically you're asking ancient versus future.
Kind of, a little bit. Yeah, actually, this is a Scarlet versus Violet question, I think. Yeah, I don't know.
Garurumon, yeah.
Yeah, you don't know how much Digimon content I've been watching lately. It's really bad. I'm just like, because like, I'm like a fan of Digimon up until like Frontiers.
I think Frontiers is okay.
Frontiers is like where I ended, and I was just like, that was fine. This is a good place to stop.
I think the first three seasons are better, but you know.
No, they certainly are. I think Frontiers was cool because they tried to do something different. Because in my mind, they're taking the Power Rangers franchise and mixing it with the Digimon franchise.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not wrong, right? Like,
that's about what they did, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, but yeah, let me see here. We've got, man, I'm going to go Metal Garurumon. I think Metal Garurumon's just cooler. I think it's just cooler.
I think Ultimates, I would go Garurumon, but yeah, Megas, I've been a big fan of WarGreymon.
Digimon was just so cool in their designs, and like, I don't know, like, there's just no rules to the designs too, which I really like.
There are zero rules.
There are zero rules to Digimon designs, and that makes it...
That's what works.
We can Digivolve into anything, it's fine.
Yes, you can Digivolve into anything, it's fine. Though what I really want to watch, and I haven't taken the time to do...
Oh, 2020?
Is the Digimon Adventures 2020, yeah. I've mostly been waiting for a dub, and it took way too long for them to dub it.
I think they announced the dub, like, last year or 2 years ago, something like that, and still took forever after they announced it, so...
I don't know where it is, because I heard a lot of the original voice actors were coming back.
I mean, they've been doing movies for years now, so I'm sure they kept them on board that way, too.
Yeah, I think most of them are coming.
Granted, nobody pay... The movies had movies or special episodes or whatever they were had like such weird release schedules, so I don't know how many people cared about them by the end because they kind of just released whenever. Try, I think it was.
Information for us, apparently, it's out. The dub for Digimon Adventure 2020. It does exist, apparently. We can just go watch it somewhere.
Is it locked on like Microsoft or something?
Yeah, I think it's locked on Microsoft or something. It's so weird. It's Digimon. This is why it's not successful.
There are marketing.
It's very bad.
TPCI was a very smart move for Pokemon. And Digimon doesn't quite have that.
Yes, you are correct.
I think Digimon is mostly Bandai Namco, and they have a lot of things on their plate. Like having a separate company exclusively working on that internationally and.
Yes.
Marketing wise, that was brilliant for them.
I'm actually, yeah. Pokemon, like, I feel like a lot of people don't give Pokemon as much credit for their marketing as they should, especially whenever they're just like, oh, this game's going to take over. This is going to beat Pokemon. When was the last time anybody said anything about Pal World, by the way?
It lasted for a month and then died.
Yeah, like most things.
I remember having one of my friends at work be like, oh, this game is so much better than Pokemon. People are going to be playing it forever. And I'm like, all right, give it a month.
Yeah, exactly. This is what happens. This happens over and over again. It happens over and over.
I never commented on it. It's like the community got like super toxic over it, but I'm just like, I'm just going to shut up and
just wait and let them do their thing. You know,
it doesn't look like it's going to last. It's fine. It's a tree puncher. I would
honestly argue that like the only reason Digimon lasted is because it happened like right at the start of the Pokemon craze as well.
Yep.
That's the end. It's only because the anime was actually better. The Digimon anime is better. It was serialized, which is part of the thing that we were talking about.
That was a good appeal to it. Yeah.
Like I think serialized animes like really hit well. I miss Saturday morning cartoons. I miss it so much.
Good old Digimon on the Fox Box. Well,
WB Kids.
Though eventually 4Kids, I think, owned both of them, so it didn't matter. But.
Oh, 4Kids, that's it, yeah.
Yeah, well, Kids WB was for a while, and then...
Kids WB was 4Kids.
And then you had Fox Kids.
Which also eventually became 4Kids, too, so...
The Fox Box became was just really bad. Like, as soon as it became 4Kids, it was just bad Saturday morning TV, but... All right, well, that's going to be it for the news, guys. We're going to kick it on over to our Poke Quiz, where we're going to quiz your co-host on their insane Pokemon knowledge.
Oh, hi, and welcome to the Poke Quiz, the part of the show where we quiz our co-hosts on their insane Pokemon knowledge. I'm Mark from the Dunsparce Gang, here to explain the rules. Our fabulous co-hosts will work as a team to answer 5 Pokemon-themed trivia questions that fans have submitted on the Discord server. Each question is worth 1 point, with Pokedex and multiple answer questions worth more, for a total of 7 points. The host can use a free hint at any time. If they get all the answers correct and do not use the hint, they can cash it in for an 8th point.
Welcome to Puckle's Poke Quiz, and thank you for that intro, Mark. We're going to jump right into it. Our first question this week is going to come from Foxy. What were the first mainline Pokemon games where the Elite Four's teams and levels would change upon rematch?
Ooh.
So, are we talking, you know, Gold, Silver, where you can do a round two?
Did Gold and Silver have a round two, or was that Heart Gold, Soul Silver feature?
Oh, gosh.
All right,
it wouldn't be Heart Gold. So I know there's a whole round two in Leaf Green as a speedrunning format.
Oh, yeah.
So it's either it's Gen 3 or it's Gen 2.
I feel like Fire Red, Leaf Green might be the answer in that case. Unless they did it to Crystal, which I don't. Or Yellow. But I think it could be Fire Red, Leaf Green as the answer.
I could have.
Because I don't think Hoenn did it.
Oh, I don't think Hoenn did. But, so or, it's either, it's Emerald either Fire Red. But it's either Leaf Green, which came out before Emerald anyways. So that would be that. Or it's. Oh, gosh.
I think it might be Fire Red, Leaf Green.
I think it is too.
Because I don't think Gold and Silver did it. I think that was a Heart Gold, Soul Silver feature.
Okay. I'm willing to risk it on that.
Yeah. Fire Red, Leaf Green. Yeah.
Fire Red, Leaf Green is correct. Those are the first games where the gym leader or the Elite Four's levels will change upon your rematch.
I think Blue gets a Tyranitar.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Yes, he does. I watch someone speedrun it all the time because I enjoy watching that game being speedrun.
All right. Well, your guys are one for one. We are going to go ahead and we are going to ask you this question from the Scottish Turtle or Scottish Turtle. Don't know the. What was the very first event Pokemon ever released?
Is it Mew?
I was going
to
say.
Or Mew or Celebi are the two that come to mind.
I mean, Celebi was never released in U.S., and technically it was on the phone.
Doesn't have.
I'm pretty sure Mew was given away, at least in Japan.
So are we talking ever, Thatch?
First ever event Pokemon ever released.
Like, I could see it being like a Pikachu or a Clefairy, too, but, you know.
Because my immediate thought was, like, in Red and Green, they would give out Mew. Because I think that was one of the ones where you had to, like, go to a certain store, put in a special link into your cable...
Yeah.
And it would transfer it to you. I'm pretty sure it's Mew.
I feel like Mew is one of them. But the question is, like, did they do a, like, random normie Pokemon before that?
No. They just did. They could. They very well
they could
have. But I think.
Like, it could have been a Pikachu. Who knows?
I know for a fact they did Mew with Red, Blue, Yellow, Green.
Yeah.
That's like, the only one I remember being there. So it has to. In my mind, it's Mew or it's a normie.
I agree. I know that Mew had an event. I just don't know if it was the first event. So I'm okay with going Mew.
I would just go Mew and we're going to risk it for the biscuit.
Because I don't think we'd figure out the normie.
No.
Mew is correct. You just go. Apparently there was a competition in Japan for Red and Green and they only had 20. And you actually had to send your copy of the game in to get it.
That's it.
And they would put it on your game. Yeah, I mean, I knew we had similar stuff like that for Nintendo Power even here in the U.S. Dude, Nintendo Power, what a trip. I miss Nintendo Power.
Nintendo Power was good.
Yeah, well, Nintendo not near Power the end. Good. I think near the end it was pretty bad, but like...
I'm thinking like N64 years. That's when
N64 and GameCube years were very good. I think once you got into the Wii years, it was pretty bad.
Like, I remember middle school and them having a magazine behind the counter and like... getting to school early and it being like, hey, can I check that out?
Yeah.
Yeah. Something like that.
Absolutely. What's crazy is some of those copies are like worth a ton of money.
Yeah.
Collectors. Nintendo has a lot of collectors among their audience.
Yeah.
A lot.
The thing that bothers me. So like I have a ton of my old Nintendo Power, but the problem is like I read them so much as a kid that they're all worn out. So like I can't
be
like.
The corners are a little bent up.
Yeah. It's just like, oh, you want to read this not pristine magazine?
I remember when Game Pro was a good magazine, too.
I do remember that, too. Man, I miss those. All right, well.
Good old days.
Well, yeah, we're just reminiscing about, like, the early 2000s now. It's fine.
We're getting in the mindset for the topic. It's fine.
Yeah, we are. All right, this next question is your Pokedex entry question, as always. This one is coming to you from Farmer Fox. The question is, it's Pokemon Shield Pokedex entry states... This Pokemon is selfish and likes to be pampered. It can also inflict grievous wounds on its trainer by just playing around.
Oh no.
Who's that Pokemon?
What? Okay.
This Pokemon is selfish and likes to be pampered. It can also inflict grievous wounds on its trainer just by playing around.
See, I would think it would be Granbull, but I don't think that was in Shield, so...
I have absolutely no idea. When I think of Grievous Wounds, I think of League of Legends, and that's a problem.
What, not Star Wars?
Nope.
That's what I think of.
I think of General Grievous. He had a cool design.
Yeah.
Do you want to just go with Granbull for now, and maybe we can narrow it down with the second one?
Are there any other dog Pokemon that would be in Pokemon Shield? Like Electrike.
Pokemon Shield.
Yeah. That's the issue. We know it's not in Shield. It was not in Pokemon Shield. Or Granbull.
Yeah,
was
no. Okay. Then if it's not there, who is aggressive? Or like doesn't know its own strength?
Selfish, but selfish but doesn't know its own strength. I don't
it strikes me as like someone who would want to like, you know, think they're like biting you playfully and it turns out they're biting you and it's like
Something like a Toxapex, maybe. I don't know.
Oh, a Toxapex, yeah.
Like, that seems selfish, and I feel like it would be poisonous, but we can try it at least.
Yeah, let's try it.
A Toxapex is unfortunately incorrect. Your next entry is going to come to you from Pokemon Y, and that dex entry states, its immense jaws have enough destructive force that it can chew up an automobile. It lived 100 million years ago.
Okay. So Tyrant? I think that makes more sense than Tyrantrum.
Yeah, I agree. Because that would be something you play with. That would be something that would be playful, unlike Tyrantrum.
Correct.
So Tyrant.
Tyrant is correct. It is Tyrant. Well, there you guys go. All right, your next question. You guys are 3-for-3. Your next question is your multiple answer question. There are going to be, it looks like, 6 answers here. For every 2 answers you give me, you give a point for a maximum of 3. This is from Albatross and Eagle 013. He would like to know, what were the 6 Pokemon to appear on the first Time magazine in 1999? I don't think it's the first Time magazine, but what were the 6 Pokemon
that
showed up?
First Time magazine cover, I guess.
The first Pokemon Time magazine cover. As we are getting, there is a new Time magazine cover now. You can collect all 4 of Pikachu, Charmander, Squirtle, and Bulbasaur.
They're so expensive, though, for the collector's versions. Like, they're 15 a piece or something like that.
Oh my gosh, that's insane.
Yeah, I saw them and I'm like, why are they so expensive? Apparently they're like plastic covers or something, but still.
All right, so I'm going to go out on a limb and start with Pikachu.
Pikachu is correct.
You're really stretching there.
Yeah, I know.
Pikachu is correct. This is 1999. Pikachu is correct.
Okay. 1999.
Jigglypuff? Do you feel Jigglypuff? I'm feeling Jigglypuff.
You get 3 strikes and you're out, okay?
Okay, let's go Jigglypuff. Let's go with all the iconic ones from back then.
Jigglypuff is incorrect. That is strike 1.
What?
All right. No. What about Whirl? What's it? Poliwhirl?
I mean, Charizard has to be on, right?
Are you going with Poliwhirl? Poliwhirl?
I'm
going
to go with Poliwhirl.
Poliwhirl is correct. That is 2. That's okay. Pikachu and Poliwhirl. That is 1 point.
How did Poliwhirl get on before Jigglypuff? Like, I understand Poliwhirl was big back then. Don't get me wrong.
They loved Poliwhirl for some reason, and I cannot tell you
why. They
it's Satoshi Tajiri's favorite Pokemon.
They should have kept him.
They should have, correct.
Anyway, so do you think Charizard or Charmander? That's where
I would say Charizard. I would go Charizard over Charmander, personally.
Because it's on the cover of the game, so people would be more iconic. It would be more iconic.
So Charizard?
That's what I'm thinking, too.
Yeah, Charizard.
Charizard is correct. That is 3. That is 3 of the Pokemon.
There are
3 more. Are we locking in Mewtwo?
Do you think Blastoise first, though?
Okay, I mean, I think both are very
because it's a cover
options.
Pokemon, so it probably.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, let's go covers. Let's go covers.
Blastoise is also correct. That is 4, so that's 2 points.
All right.
And then Mewtwo or Venusaur? We could probably just guess both.
I would try Mew. So, let's see. The movie would have been coming out, right? Or maybe on its way out. So,
the first
would
Pokemon,
probably be.
Yeah.
So Mewtwo isn't like a bad guess first.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mewtwo, is that what you're locking in?
I think so.
Mewtwo is correct. Harder. You've got 5. There's 1 more. There's 1 more that was on this cover.
So do you think it's Bulbasaur, Venusaur, or Psyduck?
Okay. So they've been doing the final evolution, so I think it's either Venusaur or Psyduck.
Which one are you going to go with first?
Do we have two strikes?
You have two more strikes.
You have two strikes.
Oh, we have two more strikes. Let's just go with both.
Venusaur is incorrect, but Psyduck is correct. Wow. That is all six.
Bulbasaur shafted. No.
So yeah, you guys got all six there. There's 3 points for you. Blastoise, Charizard, Pikachu, Psyduck, Mewtwo, and Poliwhirl were all on that cover. All
double
right.
Watered,
well, like, you guys are. Water. What are you guys at? 6 points for four or something like that? Yeah. All right. Well, we are gonna go ahead with your base stat question as always. This is from G McP. What electric type Pokemon has the highest base defense?
Oh no.
Alolan Golem comes to mind immediately.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. I don't think it's Mirada.
Magnezone may also be up there.
Iron Hands might be up Iron Thorns might be up there.
I still don't think either of them match Golem, but I couldn't entirely be wrong.
I feel like Golem's 130, right? 130, 135, something like that.
Yeah. It might be higher. I don't know. I don't remember. It's been a while since I looked at electric defense.
Gen 1 doesn't go that high. Usually they cap out around...
Yeah, I think it's 130.
They cap out around 130 unless your name's Cloyster or Onix.
Okay. But I still don't think there's anything higher. Like, you... Like, I remember looking at it, and I know that both Golem and Graveler are in the top four.
I can believe that. My big concern is a Paradox Pokemon just having a random high stat. Because it's not Zerkatry. Spoilers to anyone thinking Zerkatry might be a defensive bulk monster. It's not.
I believe Iron Thorns is only 110, though.
Okay. I know T-Tar is bulky. That's why I was wondering.
I think T-Tar is also 110. I don't think they changed any of the stats.
Yeah.
Maybe they did.
I mean, they removed
Iron
30
Hands
somewhere.
Is just, Iron Hands is all HP.
It's all HP with, like, good attack and defense. But I think it's
just
good.
Yeah, but the defense
good.
Is nothing special, though.
I was going to say, I think it's just good, not great.
It's not Sandy Shocks.
No,
It's not Maridon.
It's not Maridon.
Zekrom, I know, has good defense, but I don't think it's
all Golem size, no. Raging Bolt, same way. It's, like, it's bulky, but it's not, like,
bulky.
A wall. It's not wall bulky.
It's not wall. It's not a wall.
It's not a wall.
I'm very confident in Golem right now.
All right. I can go with it.
Golem? Alolan Golem is correct with a base 130 defense. Next is actually Zekrom and Magnezone, okay. Both at 120. And then number four on that list is actually Alolan Graveler.
Claude said it was in the top five. I believed him.
I knew it was number five. Like, I remember it being top four last time we did this for a Fuchsia City feud back in, like, 5-6 years ago. I have a clear memory of, like, all right, electric defense was Golem, like,
Zekrom's in there.
What's it called? Magnezone, Graveler, and then I'm like, out.
Whatever number five is.
Well, that gives
number
you guys
might have changed.
8 points today. So let me go ahead and add all of that in. That is 8 points for you guys, which definitely changes up the top scores, and the leaderboard, because you're all so close together. Oh, I did something wrong, and that did not work. There we go. In first place, we've got R Sigma with 27. In second place, we've got Lydian with 23. In third place, we've got Cloud9 with 22. In fourth place, we have Jashira with 21. In fifth place, we have Seth Vila with 16. In sixth, Whimsicott with 15. Tied for seventh, we've got Sublime and Shark both with 14. And Dr. Shamu bringing up the rear with 8. With that, guys, if you want more Puckle's Pokey Quiz, tune in next week where we give you more questions and we quiz your co-hosts on their insane Pokemon knowledge. Until then, though, guys, we're going to the topic.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices
down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
We're here with another iTunes review, this one from LittleDoggo5. Great podcast for everything Pokemon related. I found this podcast in early 2023 when I first discovered Pokemon and was instantly hooked. I had tried many other pods, but none of them quite hit like this one. I love all the top 5 episodes, and the quiz segment is an amazing twist on Pokemon trivia. Overall, one of the greats as far as podcasts go. Well, thank you for that, little doggo. And if you too would like to leave us a review anywhere you listen to the show, we'd appreciate it. But until then, guys, we're going to kick it on over to the topic. We'll catch you on the flip-flop. Welcome to our topic. Our topic today is Pokemon on the 3DS as the 3DS internet connection dies on April 8th.
Sad.
So 1 week from today. Now, to be clear, I do want to forward this. That does not include Pokemon Bank, for reasons.
It's the only way to get certain Pokemon.
They can't tell us how long it lasts, but I think they put out a warning to get your guys out of there.
I think the honest answer is probably once, like, PLZA connects to home. That is my gut feeling. Like, when PLZA connects to home, they'll be like, yeah, we can sunset it. Because PLZA, I think, will just fill in all of the Pokemon that don't have a direct route into home.
Yes.
Maybe.
Yeah, I think it will. Which Pokemon are unavailable to take directly into home right now?
Celebi and Magearna.
Celebi can. You can do it through the... Oh, you're right. It was Virtual Console.
Yeah, you can do it... No, you can't do it through Crystal. That was Virtual Console. Magearna, I really believe, will just get something for Lumiose for that, and I wouldn't be surprised if Celebi somehow gets involved, too.
They'll skip out his events.
In PLZA, like...
I mean, considering BDSP's, like, here's a Mew and a Jirachi, like, Celebi can show up at any point.
Well, there could be a chance we just get, like, a Gen 5 remake or something stupid, too, this year, right? And they do exactly what we did in BDSP, where they're just like, oh, you play this game. Yeah, here's a Celebi. Yeah.
And now you can use it to unlock the Zoroark. Or Zorua. It was a Zorua, right? Zoroark was the legendary beasts.
I think you just go ahead and you give us a HeartGold Soul Silver remake, and everything's fine.
Also works.
I also would not be surprised if Magearna was somehow involved in Lumiose City. I feel like Magearna fits that vibe so much better than anything in Sun and Moon.
I mean, better than Hoopa. It was in a movie with Volcanion. Like, they're kind of related.
Yeah, but yeah, that's when I imagine Pokemon Bank will go down. That is my gut feeling. Pokemon Bank will go down once PLZA can connect to home. But let's dig right on into it, though. There's a lot of things to talk about. I don't know. Like, I like reminiscing. It's a good time. The 3DS era of Pokemon was very good. It was the last time we had Pokemon battles that could go on for 60 minutes without any artificial limitations.
I mean, there were also some bad parts, too. Like, can't forget that.
And the VS Seeker. The VS Seeker.
Oh, yeah. It was the last time we had VS Seeker. I do agree with that. Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Or VS Recorder, or whatever it was.
Oh, VS Recorder. Yes, yes. The last time we could do battle recordings. That's both like a good and a bad thing, I feel like. I don't know that there's ever any use for it other than like what we would use it for in Puckle. You know what I mean?
I mean, people sharing their battles is just like good. Like, hey, can you help me with how I messed up or something like that?
Yes, 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 yes.
Like being able to easily share that is better than clicking the video button on the Switch for 30 seconds of footage. Like,
yeah, you're right. You're right.
Like, that does not do what you need it to for battles.
I guess a good way to start this is just like, what was like one of our favorite things about the 3DS and Pokemon on the 3DS? And what's a low point for us? Like, for me, I will always be, and this is certainly to some extent rose colored glasses, like Pokemon X and Y was peak for me.
I love Pokemon X and Y.
X and Y,
they like the PSS, the way it was involved, like the way the community got together around Pokemon X and Y, it was just a blast. I really enjoyed the release of X and Y.
It was the perfect game to start getting into competitive too, because the changes in the breeding mechanics. So it was really easy to, and the fact that there were like no legendaries for the story. So the lack of bottle caps at the time didn't matter. It was a really easy game to get into.
Pokemon X and Y are just super hype. I just they were before we had the current modern Pokemon games, like Scarlet and Violet and Legends Arceus. I think X and Y, in my opinion, and people can choose to disagree with me on this, is that they were the games that helped me best feel like I was on an adventure.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like almost in like the traditional Pokemon anime sense, because a lot of people like to complain about this, and I actually think it's a highlight of the game, is the long stretch between the first and the second gym.
I always thought that was a strength. Yeah,
I like that too. I didn't mind.
I don't find that as a weakness. I find that as a strength, the long stretch between. Now the only thing I wish we would have had more of is we would have had more of those stretches between gyms.
Yeah, because after that, it was literally just gym to gym.
Yeah, I really wish there was more in between. They tried, and you can kind of see it, but if there would have been more of that first section over and over, like, it maybe not over and over again, but, you know, between gym 3 and 4, like, we have another stretch or something like that, I would have really appreciated it.
I wish there were more long stretches in those, I want to say, linear-style Pokemon games. It was like, oh, you're going to go into this area and follow this path. I'm like, I don't mind being told to do any of that. It's just a matter of, does it work?
Like, have a detour.
Even if you go back to like the Gen 1 games, I think we kind of had that to an extent as well. Because if you think about just like the path you have to take through Gen 1 to beat the game, like there's a lot of like side quests for like Team Rocket type stuff that is mandatory.
I was going to say, you have to go to Game Corridor, Lavender Tower, Silphco.
Yeah, there's a lot there to do before you move on to the next gym. And I think that's just like a strength to those linear style Pokemon games. To be fair, I also do miss just like evil teams.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we've had an evil team in honestly a very long time. Like Macrocosmos is the closest we got to it, but they weren't built up whatsoever.
They weren't built up, and they're like,
yo, bring back Team Snag'em.
Team Snag. I would just love anybody who has a motivation, even similar to like Lysanders and Team Flare. Like Team Flare, I think was done poorly, but. I think just being like, oh man, I would love just to fight somebody, like have to go on these side adventures to help stop this thing that's happening. I am also still like a really big sucker for Team Rocket arcs too, just because none of the stuff that they're trying to do is like game breaking. You're just trying to be a genuinely good person and stop evil from happening.
Yeah, because what? Since Gen 7, it's essentially been misunderstood outcasts that have been the evil teams.
Yeah.
Like, oh, look, the Spike Myth people don't have Gigantamax and Dynamax opportunities. They're just annoying fans, I guess. Or the people who left the trial and Sun and Moon, but yeah.
So are there any favorite memories that, like, one of you have?
It's going back to Gen 6, but I have a very favorite memory of, like, back in college playing X and Y. And I'm not sure if I've shared this story before, but I remember...
I don't think you have.
Like, there was this, like, game... society. They would just play video games. There was a club at my college, and there was some guy who was like, oh yeah, I'm the best Pokemon trainer, and I literally looked at him and laughed.
You've definitely told me this story, but continue.
I'll put on the thing. And he laughed, and I'm like, okay. And he's like, well, we're gonna host a Pokemon tournament since X and Y just came out, in a month or two, because, like, the game, like, X and Y just came out, Friend Safari was really big. It's like, oh yeah, we're gonna host a tournament in about a month or so, we just gotta get word out there and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
I just hope there's a challenge for me this time. And I'm like, buddy, I will win this tournament and I will crush you. With the exact words I said, went back, and this is pre-Banco U. I built an entire team, ranked up to like 1600 on the ladder at that time on Showdown because, you know, I was like, all right, I want to get a team that's good here. It works. And it was an obscure team too. I was running like Specs Dragonite lead. I think I ran Mega Blastoise and like, I think I had a Mamoswine in there. I'm trying to remember the other bits and pieces of it, but it was a lot of that. And then I remember going, I think we had like, we played it all in one night in one of the cafeterias, just, you know, and I remember going through winning, you know, the first three rounds. I play him in the semifinals, completely destroy him, and then go on to win the finals against somebody else that did, like, had a better team that I didn't have an answer for. I think they ran like some Mega Charizard Y like Sun team that I was not prepared for, and I was just able to get him to screw up and to win. I was like, oh, okay. And then I completely won, swept the whole thing, and he's like, here's your prize. And I'm like, thank you. And I just walked off. Never. It was an old poster. It was like an X and Y poster plus like a
You know a poster that I want? I'm going to look this up now that I'm thinking about it. I want like a, like the OG like Pokemon Stadium poster.
I mean, I have the Kalos map that was a pre-order bonus on my wall. I'm a fan.
I have a lot of pre-order bonus stuff on my wall.
I think that's what it was. It was the Kalos map, and on the backside it was Yveltal and Zekrom. Or no, Yveltal and...
I don't know what's on the other side of it. It's been sitting on the wall for years. I'm not sure what's on the other side of the map.
I have like a lot of promo art. One of them I got, I think this was pre-ordering X and Y. It wasn't the Kalos map. I got the, they have like the timeline of Pokemon thing that's really awkward to frame. I still have that. No, it's called like Pokemon Through the Years, and it's like up to 2013, right? Because that's what it was at the time. But it's pretty cool. I like it.
But that is a very favorite memory of mine, because someone tried to tell me no, and I was like, absolutely not, sir. Absolutely not good, sir.
Like, the XY generations where I started, like, actually paying attention, because before that, I'd watch, like, Pokegame videos, but that's about it. Once X and Y came out, I remember...
Well, Gen 5 was also just, like, an unhealthy meta. Like, Gen 5 was such an unhealthy meta.
Like, I remember Shoddy Battle, but, like, you could...
Ooh, yeah!
You couldn't... play on cart, essentially, unless you got, like, hack trades or whatever.
And I did. I remember doing that for Gen 5 and stuff, but that was...
You could do that, but then you also have to find other people to do that with you, so it's like...
Yes. You had to go onto forums and, like, talk to people, hey, put in this code. Great, let's fight.
And X and Y, PSS, like, revolutionized that and made it so much better.
I really miss the PSS.
Because back on the DS... You had to go game by game friend codes. That was awful. Miserable time. So the 3DS being the system that was able to just like get your friend code to just want the system and not the game, really helped that. And, like I remember watching Justin Flynn's streams. He's the one who really got me into things.
I remember Justin Flynn.
Justin Flynn was a fun kid. He was a good personality, cause that's back in like 2013.
The number of just like the PokeTuber culture is completely different than it was back then.
And it's changed even from then to now.
Oh, it absolutely has. It absolutely has.
Oh, it's way different. Yeah.
Granted, and so, you know, we go back to the 3DS. That's my first memories of Draft League. Granted, that's when it came out. But like, that's what we used to do for the first three seasons of Puckle.
That was Sun and Moon, but I believe.
It was Sun and Moon era. That was actually because I just really wanted to do Draft League, so I tricked everybody into doing it with me. And
yeah, I remember. It was a good time. Ozzy did really good with those sheets.
Yeah. So Sigma, do you have anything that you like think of particularly?
So instead of talking about the main games, Pokemon Shuffle was a really good side game, which is why I don't care for Cafe Mix? I don't know.
Pokemon Shuffle was also on the phone too, right?
It was on the phone.
I think it was.
I played with it more on my phone than I did on the 3DS.
Yeah, I played with it on the 3DS all the time. I got through all the levels, all the bonus levels. I think I have like had a complete Pokedex because my 3DS battery blew up. So can't really play it anymore. But Shuffle was just a good time. A good match three puzzler, a good Pokemon side game, right? Cause this was the last era of like side games being everywhere. It's like as it was closing down, I guess, the little side game era.
Yeah. The one that I really liked actually, the side game wise was the Pokemon Picross game. Like that one was great.
Also a very good game.
Yeah, that was very good. I enjoy Picross in general and I really enjoyed having the Pokemon one. Because it did like little challenges, for even like replayability and stuff like that. So it was cute. I really like that one. I want more of this kind of stuff. Like I do miss it.
I miss a lot of the side. I miss the other games. Like I really do miss the other like Pokemon, like the side Pokemon games that just take another event and just Pokemonify it for. And I wish there was more of that just in the world.
I mean, they tried to push Detective. They tried to push Detective Pikachu.
Detective Pikachu's so poorly done, in my opinion, though.
It's... I wish... Yes.
Yeah, I was gonna say, it doesn't quite get there.
If it was more of, like, a Sherlock Holmes, and it was actually, like, an interesting style, like, case, and it wasn't just basic.
If it was more, like, Ace Attorney, I think it would go better. Like, a more visual novel
Yes, that's exactly what I was about to say. That's what I was about to say, is it needs to be more like Ace Attorney.
More visual novel, less whatever it is.
I love Ace Attorney.
Ace Attorney is a great series. And if Detective Pikachu was like that, I think it would probably go better, but I think they want to appeal to a younger audience, so.
Which is fine, like, and that's their choice. I just miss all the other, like, types of games that we used to have. Like, I understand Pokemon Go came out around this time, and that's taken over the meta for mobile games and whatnot, but, like, I miss having other things you could do, like.
Yeah, I think you're.
But that's a different topic.
I think that's just, like, I don't even know if that's, like, a Pokemon problem, or if it's just, like, the culture of mobile games. Like,
I think it's an industry thing, right?
It's an industry thing, because I think you come across a lot of issues where, like, when something's new, we get a lot of really cool and innovative ideas because people are coming up with it, but then there's a point where everything gets min-maxed and solved, and that's when things become really stale. And I think Pokemon Go might have been, like, the first in a line, but one, I don't think Pokemon Go has done a very good job at keeping itself fresh and innovative, which I think is part of the problem. And on top of that, like, they have lived long enough to see themselves become the villain. And it really is true, though. Like, it is unfortunately true. This comes from me. Like I said, like, a couple segments ago, oh, let me go play Pokemon Go and get my 12x experience. So
yeah, it's only when it becomes worth it do you play now.
Yeah, pretty much, honestly.
I will play for free. I will play for free shiny Pokemon, and I will play for new Pokemon. But this season has not been much of either of those.
Yeah, pretty much. It's a lot. It's a lot.
Like, I mean, I would like to say that Mystery Dungeon Gates of Infinity was the worst in the series, but I don't think that's completely true. It's the worst that ever made it to the West.
Which one is this? Which one is this?
It's the one where it's the first one where they, like, cut the roster so you couldn't get every Pokemon.
Oh, yeah.
And Virizion was, like, a main character, and
granted, Pokemon Rumble World was bad. They should have stopped after the first Rumble.
Oh, that was the free-to-play one, too, wasn't it?
Oh, that's the only one I've actually played. I'm gonna be honest with you.
I owned Rumble Blast. Rumble Blast was okay.
Part of me wants to now go play regular Rumble again.
Yeah.
One of these days I will break out my Switch, attach it to my Elgato, and I can stream some old, like, actual old games. Versus just, you know, getting an emulator, because that's illegal.
It's not that it's
illegal. Emulators aren't illegal. It's the ROMs that are, but, you know.
That's it. Okay, never mind.
I mean, I like playing the old games too. I don't know. I've never played, like, the Rumble series that much.
Oh, I think you would like it.
Potentially. I don't know.
It's a hack and slash, kind of.
Yeah, but it's with Pokemon. You get to switch your Pokemon all the time.
Let's see. We're talking about downsides. I feel like Detective Pikachu was a low point. I really just don't think it was that good. I understand why it finally made it to the US, is because they're like, oh, we're gonna make a movie out of this. And honestly, I think Detective Pikachu is what we have to thank for, like, the Super Mario Brothers movie for coming out.
Probably it was the first good video game movie, right? Or passable. But nowadays I don't know if you consider it good compared to, like, the other video game movies that came out. Like, for the time it was good. For the time it was good.
It was the first one it's kinda like saying, I don't know. I think it's like saying
it's the first one that broke through, I think.
It's like saying Gen 1 Pokemon games used to be very good. And at the time, they were very good. Like, there wasn't a video game like it. But now you look at them and you're just like, wow, this is a bad game.
Yeah, like Sonic, I think, is better now.
Sonic, I think.
I love the Sonic movies. I think they're phenomenal.
The Sonic movies are better, yeah.
Like, they took what Detective Pikachu was trying to do and just did it better. And,
Another, like a hidden gem. Well, I say hidden gem in quotes. Like, a game I enjoyed that isn't, like, a mainline Pokemon game was actually, like, Pokemon Dream Radar. I really, really like that game.
I mean, that was a nice bone to throw to the people who got the
3DS during Gen 5.
Because Black and White 2 came out after the 3DS launched, so.
Yes, it did. Well,
and the 3DS launch was a rocky one, too.
Pokemon has traditionally not made Pokemon games for a system just launching. Like, they just have not done that.
That's why whenever I see people talking about PLZA being a launch title, I'm like, that's not what the Pokemon company does.
No, like, that's not what they do. I think the next system was going to be backwards compatible anyway. Especially, I think they should, just to leverage the huge library, and they have traditionally done this. When they have a very successful console, the follow-up is typically backwards compatible. This has happened with, one, the 3DS, because the DS was incredibly successful. They did it with the Wii U.
The Wii was a weird one.
Wii U to Wii. And Wii was backwards compatible.
The Wii was backwards compatible with the GameCube.
But the GameCube was not successful. That's the issue.
The GameCube has some of the best games that have ever come out in Nintendo history.
I love the GameCube games. It just was not a successful system.
I thought it was a very successful system. That's what got me into Nintendo.
I think it sold less than Pokemon Scarlet and Violet did in one weekend. But that's beside the point.
I don't think the GameCube suffered because it was bad. I think the GameCube suffered because it didn't have a DVD player. That is my personal opinion.
I mean, that's what really pushed the PS2 into.
No, the only reason the PS2, I love video games. I think a lot of video games came out on the PlayStation 2 that a lot of people love. But what really drove the PlayStation 2 to such prominence was that it was one of the cheapest DVD players on the market when DVD players became a thing. And people go, oh, this is the cheapest DVD player, and it does video games too? And so that is what drove the PlayStation 2 to being popular. It's not because they're like, oh man, they had better developers and better games. No, they just had, they could play DVDs.
I mean, when your system is popular, you do get more games. That's kind of, it's a cyclical.
No, it's a chicken or the egg, right? It's a chicken or the egg type thing. Yeah, a lot of the games on the GameCube were very good. The Wii was backwards compatible. The Wii U technically was also backwards compatible with the GameCube. They just turned that off for some reason.
They didn't want to put the controller ports in and the memory.
They didn't want to put the controller ports in and they turned it off. Because you can actually homebrew your Wii U. People have homebrewed their Wii U. I'm not telling you that you can or that you should.
I mean, they're not making money from it anymore. What do they care?
They didn't make money from it when it came out. It's fine.
They never made money from it. Let's be real.
They did buy all the games they just ported to the Switch, I guess.
There's like three left. It's fine.
But if you plug in like the GameCube controller ports to it, the homebrew exists where you can just like play GameCube games on your Wii U without a problem. So yeah, just a fun fact, because there is just like an entire second board inside of a Wii U. That is just a Wii. Like, there's just a Wii in your Wii U. Me and the other four people that own them know this.
I have a Wii U.
Yeah, you're one of the other four people.
I bought it for my junior... I think I bought it for, like, my senior year of college. We played so much Super Smash Brothers on it.
Yeah, that's what you did with a Wii U.
That is all you did with a Wii U, is play Super Smash Brothers, yes. Yes, yes, yes.
That is what you could do with a Wii U. You could play Smash Bros. Or Pokken. I remember playing Pokken.
I remember hating Pokken.
It was an okay game.
The 3DS, speaking of this, this has nothing to do with like directly a 3DS, but it has to do with just like how Pokemon pseudo evolved when it like went to 3D on the 3DS. They no longer were like, hey, we need a game on like a major console as like a battle simulator.
Oh yeah, because it just, despite the resolution, actually looked pretty good. I liked the 3DS look.
Yeah, I'm still like a big sucker. I don't think it's as big of a deal now, but like I love just having. I loved having a game that was kind of a hub for battles, if that makes sense, where like, oh, this game exists for me to bring my Pokemon from another game and just play it here. And I think modern Pokemon could actually succeed from this as well. With like post-exit Pokemon can succeed from this kind of strategy. We could have a game that has all of the Pokemon models in it and is just stored there. Just like Battle Revolution. Pokemon Battle Revolution is like such a lazy game if you think about it.
No, it wasn't.
It was phenomenal. I think of all the different stadiums and outfits you could do. I spent hours doing
but
that.
But it takes so much to grind things and there's no flat battles.
Yeah, I agree with both of you. But it's such a lazy game because most of the models are actually like a lot of the Gen 1, Gen 2 models are the ones from Pokemon Stadium 1 and from Pokemon Stadium 2 that they just reused.
Because they just reused the Colosseum ones again.
Which reused the Pokemon Stadium ones. And I just love the idea of having a hub thing where like, oh, I bring my Switch and then Claude and I, you know, connect our Switches to the to this third Switch and we do battle that way. I think that's a really cool concept and would be really fun. And it's easier for everybody else to observe. I don't know. We don't have spectator mode. We don't have easily accessible spectator mode, Pokemon. If we could fix that, that'd be great.
That's why VS Recorder was so good.
Spectator mode would be great.
Yeah, that's right. VS Recorder. We used to just record our matches. That was back in Gen 4. That's how all the YouTube content was made.
Yeah, spectator mode, man. I miss spectator. Like, we need spectator mode, like, in our games now. It's very hard to share your... It's really hard, like, I really like the idea of us being able to run our own tournaments, which we still do, obviously. We were just talking about PFTT. But I like the community being able to run them.
But sharing the battles goes a long way.
Yeah, no, sharing the battles goes a long way. Being able to share... Yeah, because I remember we used to be able to record them ourselves. That was great. I mean, it's much easier...
Yeah, we did commentary for them.
It's much easier nowadays with, like, Switch capture cards are much easier to come by, or capture cards for consoles that could hook directly to an HDMI.
Yeah, you wouldn't have to sit there and record every battle and put them up to upload them to the drive. Like, anyone could do the record the battle.
I don't know. I do miss that. Like, 3DS had that. They also had, like, the really cool versions of the console. I'm really upset I didn't get the Pokeball 2DS. I was going to buy one. I just never did.
I got the 20th anniversary bundle one, just because it's the little new 3DS that came with Red and Blue.
Oh yeah, that one. I know which one you're talking about. I know what you're talking about. That with the face plates. Yeah, that one. I wish I would have picked up as well. That one's really good.
Yeah. Sadly, it's got like a pinched wire in.
No.
So I couldn't open it all the way, which is why I stopped playing it, and then the battery blew up. So it's kind of stuck now, but. They had so many 3DSs. Jeez. I didn't even realize there were Shuffle ones or Troze ones.
There are so many. There are so many.
So I do want to bring up one other good point that I really enjoyed that as I'm thinking about this is I really enjoyed Pokemon Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire.
It was a really good remake.
In my mind, that Heart Gold, Soul Silver, because they did these were the remakes that were back-to-back. That is how you do a remake.
I think Heart Gold, Soul Silver was better, but I think...
I'm not arguing, but like...
Oras was very good.
I enjoyed Oras a lot, just because they took... It's the exact same game. They added in, you know, something new to it. So it's, you know, either it's more Pokemon you can find. A different way to find Pokemon with the Poke Radar, I think it was at the time. PokeNav. They added Mega Evolution, which added a whole other aspect to the game. And they added what, in my opinion, was the best post-game, like, story.
Yes. No. I think Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire, like, I think the only complaint that you can have about Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire as a remake is there's no Battle Frontier content, right?
I mean, that and the balancing was weird. You had to turn off, like, XP share.
Oh, no, it wasn't balanced for XP share.
Graphic-wise was bad. Like, I'm not going to argue that. But, like, I thought it was a great style of game of, like, oh, this is how... Like, a remake should be done. And, like...
I agree. I think Heart Gold, Soul Silver... Well, honestly, even, like, Leaf Green, Fire Red, I think, was done very well. In that it gave, like, a little bit of extra content compared to the original. A
little bit, yes. It did.
If for the first remake, if all you expect is, hey, this is a one-for-one remake, but with better graphics, I think Leaf Green, Fire Red were better than you would expect. It still had Gen 3 problems, which are its own thing. And then Heart Gold and Silver was done incredibly well. They added in crystal content. I think Heart Gold and Silver just ruined remakes for everybody else. I'm gonna be honest, because they added in so much they did so well. Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire, I think, though, are very good games. Like, I think they are very, very good remakes.
The thing that I'm upset with, and granted, I hope I'm proven wrong, is we got the idea of Paradox Pokemon. Paradox Pokemon and, like, special Tarrasque forms, which, you know, is just for fun type thing, with Scarlet and Violet. Unless Legends is gonna add in more of those, they're done. That's it.
For now.
That is small. That's a small group of, like, things to add into a game.
I think we're talking about, I think we're just getting onto the topic of just, like, why Mega Evolution was so cool because it was just so expansive and was in a lot of different things versus the other mechanics at that point, right? Like,
I know, I think I liked the idea of there being a remake of a game that added to the gimmick of what was brought out.
I don't disagree.
You have Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon, which added, what, one Ultra Beast in Not Gonna Know?
There's also the wall and the clown, but yeah.
Blacephalon and Stakataka were also added.
Okay, yeah. So it added three Ultra Beasts, which was cool, I guess. I wish they added a little bit more. Like, even just two more, I think, would have added more. But that was the whole story. It was the exact, pretty much the same game, but they added in three extra Pokemon at the end.
I think it had a worse story, too, but, you know. Or the climax changed, mostly, but yeah.
Yeah, the climax changed a lot.
Yeah. And it gave you one of the hardest fights in a Pokemon game. Yes.
Yeah, mistakenly so. I still don't like what they did with that. I mean, if you know what's coming, you just have a Zorua. Like,
but then you look at, like, what, Gen 8? And it's, here's two DLCs that are going to add in two Pokemon. Or, the first one added in the Urshifu forms, which may have been a mistake in itself. And then the second one added in more stuff. And I did like the second DLC for Swish, so I can't really complain about that, because it added a whole new story with Calyrex and brought back other Regis and birds. Exactly. Like, they added in more Galar forms. Even just a couple, but it made it feel fun. And then it's, all right, cool, we get to Gen 9, and it's like, all right, cool, here's your DLCs, we're going to add in three, four Paradox forms, and Tropicus. And then it just feels kind of like every other generation. It's like, oh, cool, we're going to do this gimmick, give you some fun things, and then that's it. And then next week it's like, meow, wop,
wop. I guess what I could say is Ultra Sun and Moon is what killed the idea of second versions for me, just because of how it was. It had been a while since Platinum, and considering what BDSP was like, Platinum was good for what it was at the time. But they got to a point where games were, like, good enough to stand on their own that they didn't need the second version anymore. So it's like, that's kind of what made me be okay with DLC. Because you were already paying $80 bucks for both games anyway.
Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon was already just DLC. Like, that's all it was.
It was.
Like it should have just been DLC. I think Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon is where they realized that we should just do DLC.
You're right, and that's fine. Like, I don't mind the DLC. It's just I wanted so much more.
Yeah, they were definitely just DLC, and they should have just sold them as DLC.
It was not great. It was not exciting. It's like, oh, cool, I get to go through the roughly same thing again. And how long had it been since Platinum? Like 10 years?
Platinum. Yeah, it was like eight. It was eight. It was eight. It was 8 years.
Or was that 2009? So, okay. So, okay.
It was 8 years, which still isn't much better, but it's fine. It's fine.
It was a while since we had a second version, because Black and White figured it out and did a sequel instead, and that was smart. And Z just didn't happen. Though I could see Z.
It's happening now.
Z could have had... Now it is. They found something to do with those planning docs.
They're doing it now, so watch out. But yeah. All right. Well, I think I'm gonna wrap us up so we don't keep going in circles.
Yeah. Sorry. I'll stay here forever.
Oh no worries. Okay. And I think we'll move on. But yeah, 3DS time was a good time. Let us know what your favorite Pokemon 3DS memory is in the email next week. But until then, guys, we're going to kick it on over to our Pokemon of the episode. We'll catch you on the flip-flop.
Pokemon of the episode.
Welcome to our Pokemon of the episode. Our Pokemon this week is National X number 701, Hawlucha, the wrestling Pokemon.
Its Pokemon Violet Pokedex entry states, Hawlucha live quietly without flocking together. They live constantly with their natural enemies, noisy groups of primate. Ooh, I didn't know that.
I was actually going to ask this question about whether or not we thought, like other birds, they would flock together. But I guess the Pokedex entry, they just don't.
They hang out with primate.
Yeah, they hang out with primate and just body slam them.
I mean, that's appropriate.
Yeah,
I think that's pretty good, actually. I'm very... they have other entries. The other entries, like, talk about Hariyama a lot, like Machamps and Hariyama, so...
Good for Hawlucha.
Good for Hawlucha. It's a fighting flying type. Is it still the only fighting flying type?
No, there's a Flamigo now.
Oh, Flamigo. And
Zapdos Galar.
And Galarian Zapdos.
Zapdos, too.
Well, he's still a trailblazer, so good for Hawlucha.
Oh, definitely a trailblazer. We're not arguing that.
It's a trailblazer. It's such a fun Pokemon. Hawlucha, like, is just good. It gets Unburdened with a giant speed stat. Unburdened is when you consume your item, your speed doubles, and its speed is base 118, which is ridiculous. So it doubles in speed, so it can have like over 700 speed at level 100, which is nutsos. And its attack stat's not too bad. 92 is like okay, especially if you're running acrobatics.
Yeah, usually you try to get off a sword stance after like a synchro activates because you run it with terrain.
But yeah,
that's how you run it.
Yeah, that's how it's been running for years. So
in UU right now, the only core that it involves is a psychic terrain core with Ndidi, and then most other ones also use a Sinistee.
Yeah.
For psychic terrain, and yeah, that's pretty much it. You get rid of the seed, and suddenly you are massive and massive speed, usually coming on something that you can set up a sword stance on, and now you have plus two acrobatics, close combat, high jump kick, stone edge.
You're not running. You're close combatting with this thing. You aren't high jump kicking anymore.
Yeah. Oh, they run substitute too. I've seen.
I have seen sub.
I feel like back in Gen 7, it didn't have close combat yet. Was that correct?
No. Yeah, it got close combat. Close combat's a recent addition.
I think it got it in Gen 8 or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Correct.
It also has a signature move.
In flying press, it's like the first dual type move too, right? Like, because it does flying type and fighting type damage.
Yep,
which is cool.
I'm sure leads the programmers to being crazy, but you know.
Yes, there was a TCG card that was like seeing some play for a while too.
It would put two damage counters on your bench.
On two different. We could put one damage counter on two different Pokemon.
That's it.
When you put it down on your bench, which was actually really fun in Lost Box. It was fun for Lost Box decks too.
It gives them extra counters around for Sableye to hit.
I used it a couple times. I was at a League Cup, once, and
you know, back in the day,
like a year ago, I was in a League Cup. It's so wild because like how fast the TCG moves to be like, this was like four formats ago. Oh, that was just a year ago. I went to a League Cup and I was playing Lost Box and I was I beat a guy because it was a mirror match with Lost Box, but he wasn't playing Hawlucha. And so what he had two Comfeys on the bench. I had 10 of the Lost Zone.
To kill two with the Sableye. Nice.
Yeah, I double pinged two Comfey and I took two prizes because my Sableye could take out both of them. And the guy was definitely a more seasoned player than I was, and he was like, that was a really cool play that I did not see coming. I was just like, yeah, I'm surprised you did not know that this could be a thing, because it was my favorite card to play as a tech in Lost Box for a while. It since like has gone out because you could just play like Iron Hands and just punch all the things.
You don't run into the mirror as much anymore either.
You don't run into the mirror as much anymore. So it's not nearly as useful to bring Hawlucha in. Not as many people are like watching the HP counts on their basics anyway anymore in the evolutions decks. So the usefulness is kind of gone. You could probably play it if you're really, really worried about like Charizard decks and you can hit them very early on with 10 the Lost Zone, but that's probably not happening either. It had its day and it's gone.
Like Radiant Hawlucha. Hawlucha existed and now it's useless because it was good for hitting VMAX Pokemon that are 99% gone.
Yeah, I think there's like three VMAX Pokemon left.
Kyurem and Heatran exist. Oh, yeah. Deoxys and
Zeraora. Zeraora, yeah. VMAX. Let me look. I'm going to look this up.
Hatterene probably exists too.
Is Trevenant still around or Trevenant leave?
Trevenant, I think, is gone.
I think Trevenant is out. Yeah, most of the V Pokemon are gone. This is probably like the one thing that bothers me the most about the Pokemon TCG is I really dislike when like a new game comes out, they come up with a new mechanic for the game and they just name it something different. And I'm just like, guys, you could just make cooler versions of the same thing.
They did with black and white and X and Y.
They kept EXs and I was perfectly fine with that. And I think that's how it should work. I think the reason we got GXs was because they
wanted to go back to evolution.
They let those EXs get a little bonkers because a Pokemon EX back in Black and White and X and Y would be a basic no matter what. Like a Metagross EX was a basic. And yeah, it was.
I think Little EX, if they wanted to keep that around.
I think Little EX is GX. And I think the only reason we got reset to V's after GX was because they
GX moves.
Well, they messed
also,
up.
Tag teams were busted.
They messed up tag teams. They messed up tag teams.
Yeah, they did.
With tag teams. And tag teams are technically a Pokemon GX. So I think they messed up there.
They were like, we need to reset. We need to reset.
We need to reset. So they went to V. And then went to VMAX. And I think those VMAX and V-Star are both fine. I genuinely
VMAX
don't have an issue with them.
It took a long time to figure out what they were trying to do.
I honestly don't have a problem with it, but they, I don't know. I think it was fine. I think they're just they didn't want like a big three prizer anymore. Mm-hmm. So they got rid of it. Looking at this, by the way, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 VMAXs left in the format.
That's more than I expected.
Yeah, Kingler VMAX is apparently still around.
Kingler!
Yeah, a Mimikyu VMAX still exists. Aggron VMAX is still around.
Hey, that card actually saw play.
That card actually decent play. Heatran VMAX, like we mentioned. Machamp VMAX is still around. Melmetal VMAX, Kyurem VMAX, we mentioned that one because Kyurem is actually like a deck for like a half a second. Zeraora VMAX is around. Deoxys VMAX, Regieleki VMAX, which is something we forgot.
That's a support Pokemon, but yeah
it's more of a support Pokemon.
That's,
and then also like you said, Hatterene VMAX is still around. Hatterene VMAX is still here as well, so this has nothing to do with Hawlucha, but that's what the point of the segment is nowadays, I think, is to be whatever I want it to be.
There's curiosity here.
This is the go wherever you want to go, about this Pokemon part of the segment. Ash did have a Hawlucha. Shiny Hawlucha is actually pretty good. I'm a big fan of Shiny Hawlucha.
One of the rare Pokemon where there are two shinies in the format right now.
They're two shits. Oh, for the cards.
Because
Radiant
Hawlucha exists.
Oh, yeah. So.
Yeah, yeah.
And then
Running Radiant Hawlucha, let's be honest.
No, you don't. You should not be running Radiant Hawlucha. It's there.
It's there,
it
though.
It exists. I mean, Charizard has two.
I think Radiant Hawlucha, even when it came out, got kind of nerfed because they switched from like VMAX to V-Star.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think that definitely hurt it.
I think it should have been able to hit V-Stars for extra damage, too. Mm-hmm. And even that wouldn't have been that good, but...
Yeah, if they would have done V-Stars, I think it would have been... I think it would have seen a little bit more play.
Like, I remember there were a few decks that were running it. I think Hisuian Zoroark was running it for a while.
Yes, it probably needed it for a little bit.
Because, I mean, it's not like it could run anything else except maybe Gardevoir.
Mm-hmm.
So, good old Radiance. You weren't discarding energy in the deck. You weren't running fire energy for Charizard, so.
Exactly. But yeah, I mean, Hawlucha has always been very good and very fun. I think it's a
speedrun Pokemon for a couple generations.
Is it? Oh, wow.
I think really? It used to be like the speedrun's go-tos.
Oh, yeah. Gen 6 and...
And 7, I think.
I think Gen 8 used it too, didn't they?
They might have. No. I've done the Gen 8 speedrun. It just sobbles. It sobbles, or you can go to the DLC and get like a Suicune or any Pokemon in the Dynamax raids.
I think without using DLC, they used it for a little bit, right?
They might have. Sobble, I know you can sobble solo. That's how I speed ran.
I know when the game first came out, that wasn't the case. And it was either using like a Whimsicott or something else.
Candy Floss. There was a Candy Floss strategy because there's a
Candy
trade.
Floss. That's it.
There's a trade Katani, and trades have fixed IVs. So it was consistent.
Yep.
I think there was a Arcanine route as well.
That's it. It was Arcanine. Never mind.
But it was also dependent on the version because different gym leaders in different games.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But they eventually figured out a Sobble route. That's what I ran. But I think there was a trade Hawlucha in Gen 7.
Maybe. I think so.
I think that's how you were able to run it in Gen 7 and Gen 6. It was also early-ish on. I think it's right after the second gym, isn't it?
I don't know.
It's before Karina and Gen 6. It's that little, like, ghosty area with all the Golurks. If that makes any sense.
It's the stone pillar path,
I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't played Gen 6 in a while. I want to go back and play Gen 6 again.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, that could work. But
you found it on Route 3 in Ultra Sun and Moon, so that that probably helped too.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
That.
Yep.
So.
Well, on that note, Hawlucha's a lot of fun. And I think this is where we're going to wrap up with Hawlucha to move on to our mailbag. So thanks, guys, and let's kick it on over to that that mailbag.
It's mail time! Send in your emails!
Welcome to the mailbag. The mailbag is the part of the show where you can send us emails. Also, we'll read them on the show, probably. We typically have a prompt. Last week, we asked you guys what you thought of Pokemon Horizon so far. I'm excited to dive right into these, but without further ado, as always, we must let you know that this segment is brought to you by the fictional energy drink Green Tauros, the energy drink that gives you hooves.
Hooves!
And as always, we'll give out the Green Tauros badge to anybody who inspires great conversation or makes us feel good. I don't actually know how we decide anymore. We just decide. So our first email this week is going to be from the real Eevee.
Oh, right. That's me.
That is you.
What's up, everyone? It's the real Eevee here. The Pokemon Horizons anime is, and I have watched it all with both my kids. So I'm going to give you a review from my mindset and theirs. Pokemon Horizons anime has a solid start, in my opinion. But yes, I do think the episodes are a bit slow, but I do appreciate the time we get to spend with the characters knowing them. It is super deep that we are getting to see multiple layers to them. Kind of not.
Claude, do you feel like you resonate with Roy?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay. That's what I thought.
Why?
my first thought when I saw Roy singing with Boy Coco, I go, this is Claude.
Yeah.
This is Claude.
It's not that I don't do the same thing with my dog. Like,
I don't do it.
Basis.
I promise I don't do it.
I don't, on a daily basis.
I don't do it daily. Every other day, maybe. But like,
yeah. I mean, I've definitely seen dogs that will like sing along with you.
Yes, I've seen that as well.
I've never had one, but I have.
Neither
seen
have
one
I.
Exist. But you try.
I try so hard.
But I feel like the episodes are still fun nonetheless. I feel like this was definitely made with a very large overarching story in mind. If that's the case, I'm cool with a slow build up to it. You guys already touched on a lot of how I felt. I just love the whole crew on the floating airship and absolutely love seeing Pokemon technology at that. And now, with my kids' thoughts about the anime. Both of them seem thoroughly engrossed in the anime, and it seems to help their attention pretty well. Or hold their attention, I'm going to guess that was... But autocorrect is a thing in this, don't worry about it. I think Sprigatito was a solid pick for everyone's new favorite partner Pokemon. Both of my kids absolutely love it. And Captain Pikachu continues to bring a really refreshing cool factor to the Pokemon mascot Pikachu. I really hope they release some merch. Both of my boys have been wanting a toy of Captain Pikachu. I'm kind of surprised there isn't a Captain Pikachu out there.
There isn't?
Yeah.
Oh, I can see.
I feel like there should be.
I think there probably is for like the monocle figures in Japan.
Yeah, figure wise, I'm talking like a plush.
It hasn't come out in the US yet.
Okay.
Right? Like,
I mean,
like
that makes sense considering the show just released a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. And I mean, we were talking about how like Freed wasn't in any of the promo stuff for the next season. So, like, are they trying to, like, axe Pikachu from the anime? You know?
Pikachu's still in the picture.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Captain Pikachu was still there, actually. Yes.
Freed and Charizard aren't in the picture.
I'm also okay with that.
That's okay. They have to build up anticipation for Mega Charizard Z when it shows up.
Oh my gosh.
Mega Charizard Z.
Here we go. Here we go. It's coming, brother. Oh man, there's a $200 Pikachu Poke plush that's 26 inches tall.
Wow.
I should buy that.
Well, that's it from Really Eevee. As always, thanks for reading my horribly written emails and misspellings.
Hey, no worries. Oh, right. Our next email is going to come to us from the British gent. To Thatch and his fellow co-hosts, as a father that grew up watching Pokemon from the start, and now watching it with along with my young children, the anime has always been in my life. Watching any anime or cartoons in the 90s, it was very rare that the story of the program would progress much, unless a film was made and that brought an end or moved the story forward for a reset. I'm looking for at you, 1986 Transformers the Movies, all-time best film.
Okay,
that's fine. So watching Pokemon from the very start and not realizing at the time the story wasn't really moving forward didn't really bother me. How long was it between cities, gyms, and towns? I love that we used to actually, like, there were websites that used to, like, keep track of that.
Mm-hmm. We don't talk about Diamond and Pearl season.
We don't talk about Diamond and Pearl season. Yeah, we don't talk about Diamond and Pearl.
Or was
it's
it season two?
It was season three. It was between the 7th and the 8th gym. I think there were, like, 50 episodes.
Yeah. It was an entire year of episodes before we got to a gym. Yeah, we don't talk about that.
They learned from their mistake.
Yes, exactly.
Was that or Battle Frontier season two?
So as I look on at a fresh new start of Pokemon anime, I see it as a really good start. Do I hear your complaints about Roy taking so long to join up with the Rising Bolt Tacklers crew? I guess, but this is for kids. Remember, Dot is who? My middle daughter found it so funny watching that whole story take part with Liko not realizing. I'm going to try not to spoil anything, as in the UK, we're on episode 20. Rub it in, why don't you? Why don't you rub it in, British gent?
I'm only on episode 5, so...
It's okay, you only have access to 12.
I know.
We only have access to the first 12. Well, yeah, I feel like British gent should DVR it and send it to us.
I think so, too.
Yeah. I wonder if this will carry on for the rest of the series, and we'll get it before you guys. That'll be a first. At least now you know how we feel most of the time. I do like how they explore the crew for the Rising Volt Tacklers. They do episodes as you would expect on a crew members, but they don't move far away from the main storyline. I think they do it well overall. The explorers are very much kept a secret. I'm even starting to wonder if we'll get any story about who and what they're all about. We do get tiny bits of info. I just wish it was a bit more. Roy and Fue Coco singing? Best get used to it, Thatch. They are still going strong and may have someone else joining them. This part of the story I have been enjoying in the next few episodes. I'm surprised you guys didn't talk about one particular topic about the anime, Thatch. That theme song. What a banger. After the fourth listen to it, my eldest was already singing it, and I have to admit, it is really one of the better Pokemon theme songs Pokemon has done.
It's okay. It's all right. It's
fine.
It's not the best. It's no Journeys.
It's not Journeys. It's not Journeys, and it's not like the original Pokemon theme, right? Like the original...
Is it better than what they did for, like, you know, all of Diamond and Pearl?
Yes.
I mean, I was going
to say. Is it as good as the Black and White theme song? I don't
know. Maybe. Yeah. All right. I think that's mainly all of my points for the show so far. Honestly, looking forward to the rest of the show. Until next time, the British gent. All right. Well, we've got one more, and it's from Sully, and I believe Claude's got this one.
I got this one. Titled Not Super Horizon-y. Hello, fellow Pokemon fans. I think the email prompt this week was about Pokemon Horizons. I haven't actually started watching it yet. But then
exciting.
At one point during the episode, you also mentioned us sending in anything Pokemon related.
I do. So I say this every week. You can send in anything you want. And we will probably take a look at it.
But, like, you know.
We might read it.
People sent in.
Yeah.
So
please.
That's what I'm doing now.
I'm excited.
I've been thinking about this for years, and I needed a group of Pokemon fans to express my thoughts to.
Do it.
I am so ready for Pokemon to jump all in on the VR bandwagon. So many technology companies seem to be wading into.
Oh, okay. I have comments about this, but I want to finish it because I want to hear the idea.
Hey, Thatch, does that sound like a whole new podcast episode? Pokemon in VR?
No.
I think that could be something interesting. All right, maybe we should talk about this in a future date.
What?
No? No. I think it's a great idea for an episode.
I don't
think you can get that far with it.
But. So, like, I don't know. So, like, my IRL job's, like, kind of in the tech sphere. So, like, I have just, like, a lot of marketing opinions about VR, but I digress. You could keep going, Claude.
Okay. Sure. My vision is that they create a game that is essentially like Pokemon Go, where you can run into Pokemon in the wild. You can catch them, obviously. But the game runs on the current mainline series game battle system. You can send your Pokemon out into battle against your friends or other random people that are just playing the game. And then you engage in regular single and double battles. I feel like, to a certain extent, this technology exists in our world enough that if Pokemon really wanted to go all in on this, they can pull it off. I would throw so much money at their company if this is a real thing. I would literally be fulfilling all of our childhood dreams and imagine sitting in a stadium like the ones we battled in during Sword and Shield with a bunch of other spectators, using VR to watch the battles as well, at a point we are completely in the Pokemon world, and Pokemon are essentially real. Thanks for reading. I know this isn't anywhere near close to the horizon for Pokemon, but a kid can hope, Sully. All right, I have thoughts.
I want to hear your thoughts, and then I'm gonna crush them a little bit, maybe accidentally.
No. So what I think they should do first, and I think that'd be a lot easier to implement, and I would love this, is you have some sort of like for VR. The first thing you do is you get to be in the stadium watching a battle. Imagine they're doing the like double battles, like for the VGC tournament.
Yeah,
and you can just. Like, log in and sit in the stadium and watch the battles as if they're happening directly in front of you. Not actually doing the battles, but you just sit and watch them. Like a sporting event, almost.
Yeah.
Think of how cool that would be. That's my, like, starting point. I would love that. I would sit and just watch stuff for hours.
I think we just need spectator mode in Pokemon first, but, that might be...
I'm not arguing with that either, but, like...
Yeah.
I gotta start somewhere. If we're gonna venture into the VR space, give me spectator VR.
I VR is just too early right now for me to like care. They like VR is not super accessible to the masses, which is a problem. I know there's like the early tech adoption curve, and VR is probably sitting there to some extent. The Oculus, I was actually very happy to see the Oculus like have a decent price point actually. Because that's a good first step.
Eventually?
Yeah, they did. The Oculus
thing ever.
Yeah, the Oculus was doing. I think they were hoping they could like take a hit on it and like make money other ways. And I don't think that worked out for them. And
kind of like how other video game publishers sometimes do it, where it's like we take a little hit on the console, but
yeah,
we make up for it in licensing fees on our
exactly. And I think they were hoping they could do that with the Oculus, but I don't think it did happen that way. I think it's just a little expensive right now. I think that's the only thing. And Nintendo doesn't have a good VR option yet. I mean, you could do the Labo VR, I guess, which I don't know how much that is actually like VR, other than just like putting the screen really close to your face. I don't know. Like I think it's a cool idea if it could ever get like mass adopted. So that we could like full on Sword Art Online ourselves into Pokemon. But I don't know. I appreciate the vision, and I'm hoping that it works. I do agree that the technology exists. It's just whether or not the technology is widespread enough.
I was gonna say it's whether it's worth developing for.
Yeah,
fair, I guess.
I mean, I'm sorry to be a Debbie Downer, Claude. I'm sorry.
It's fine.
I'm sorry. No, it's exciting. It's a good idea. I want to do those things, Claude. I want to do it. I think all we need is for. VR to really just become more accessible, and we could definitely do this.
Yes. Oh yeah. I think there's a lot of things that need to happen, but that's where I would like to see.
Yeah.
If you want an easy way to bridge into it, you keep the game separately and you just sit and watch something.
I think
integrative like movies, like how they do like 4D movies. Now you put on a headset and you really feel like you're there.
I mean, you can do this now with other VR goggles. Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm saying that's my step one.
I actually just watched a before we did the podcast today, I watched a YouTube video in the morning, right? Eddie Burbeck, who is a funny man on the internet.
I agree. I've seen his stuff.
Yeah, sometimes. I love. Yeah, he just put out a video the other day. It was a 40-minute video on like the Apple Vision Pro. And he was talking about that, and it's not going well. Okay, I'm gonna tell you that much. Based on what he'd shown, the Apple Vision Pro is just not there yet. I think VR is really cool, and I just think a lot of people get really excited about it, which I think they should. It's a really cool technology. I just think that VR keeps shooting itself in the foot by putting out incredibly expensive headsets.
So the adoption
rate is lower, and then nobody develops for it because, and so we can't get the innovation that's required.
It kind of reminds me of the PlayStation VR
that
they put out like a year ago and then just kind of abandoned because it was more expensive than their expensive system.
Yeah.
But you needed both.
And so the problem with a lot of VR headsets too. Yeah. Like, so we could even talk about the Oculus for a second about that too. The Oculus still requires you to have like a computer. And you need the computer that can run it. A lot of this VR stuff.
There is a barrier of entry.
There is a barrier of entry that it needs to be low. Like, we need to just wait. Like, VR just is consistently like coming out, is trying to rush out the gates, and it needs to cook.
It needs to find an audience before it tries to raise its prices even more. Yeah,
it needs to cook. Because I almost bought an Oculus. I want to play Beat Saber.
I think I have Beat Saber.
Do you have an Oculus?
I have a PlayStation 1. No, I have a PlayStation version of it.
Oh, there's your problem. Because
my wife had it as a PS4.
Oh.
No, yeah. Yeah, if I can get a... Well, I guess the Oculus Meta Quest doesn't require a computer, but I don't know how well it runs. We'll see.
I don't know off the top of my head, so I can't give you a full explanation on that.
I don't know. I would love to play Beat Saber. I just think it's really weird like trying to watch movies on it, because then I could just like go watch a movie with my wife on my TV or something instead.
Mm-hmm. No, that's fair.
But yeah. All right. Well, sorry to end on that note. I still think it's a really cool idea, and I really want it to happen.
Funny enough, I think we give him the Green Tortoise badge.
Yeah, absolutely.
The most conversation.
Oh, he did. It was not about Pokemon. It was mostly about Thatch's view on tech, but I definitely agree with him. That it would be a very cool idea. So Sully, you get that Green Taurus badge. You earned that. But yeah, next week, if you want to let us know what you thought of the 3DS era and what you're missing from it, or what you hope we get to build on it in the future, I would love to see that at pucklepodcast@gmail.com. If you want to keep up with us throughout the week, the best way to do it is to come to our Discord at discord.com/thepucklepodcast or pucklediscord.com. Oh my gosh. twitch.tv/thepucklepodcast is our Twitch. I just confused everything, where you can watch us live. You can come to our YouTube at youtube.com/pucklepodcast. You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all those good things. If you want to help support the show, best way to do it is two ways. One, you could buy all of your cardboard at trollandtoad.com, with code pucklepod5 at checkout. Get yourself a 5% discount, or you can go to our Patreon at patreon.com/pucklepodcast. T-shirts are going out, for everybody who were at the proper tier for merch. I don't think all of you filled out the survey to let me know what size t-shirt you need. So please do. I don't think you're at the tier.
Are you at the tier either?
You're not at the tier, you wouldn't see it.
I have been, you know, a Patreon member at the same tier for 7.5 years.
I know you have. I sent you two of the next merch.
I know.
This week. So if you, April starting, and as such, we're going to be doing a different type of merch for people who start in April. We are going to go ahead and send out anybody who starts in April and is at that tier for 3 months a Puckle TCG playmat or desk mat, your choice for whatever you want to use it for.
Designed
by Claude's wife. It actually looks pretty killer. If you want to see a picture of it, well, one, we'll probably put on the Discord to try to coax you into doing it. But also it'll be shown on Patreon by the time this show is out. So you guys can check it out and see if you want to get that Puckle TCG playmat. This is going to be the only way to get it this year is through the Patreon. It will not be available through a store or anything else. So if you want it, come and get it, guys.
If you want it, come and get it. Come and get it.
Yeah.
Nah, 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 nah.
On that note, though, guys, yeah, this is it for the Puckle Podcast this week. I have been Trainer Thatch.
I've been R. Sigma.
And I've been Claude Nye.
And here in the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's closing time.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.